to Shutter Weekly, the week of Monday, July 15th, 2019. Thanks so much for being with me. Let's jump right in. First up, I'm going to talk about Canon, and they just announced two pretty big camera announcements, if you ask me. It's in the mirrorless one-inch sensor point-and-shoot world. And the first one is the G5X Mark II. And this is actually the first time that they've updated this camera in like 5 years. And just to give you a refresher, it is a one-inch point-and-shoot camera. But now they actually are using a 20-megapixel CMOS stacked sensor, which you could usually only find in the Sony RX point-and-shoot series cameras, which was kind of the breadwinner in the point-and-shoot world for a really long time. It looks like Canon is finally responding to that and trying to compete. Likewise, it has a 24-120 f1.8 to f2.8 lens. It also has a pop-up OLED viewfinder, also previously only found on the Sony RX series point-and-shoots. That is a full-on flip-up display. It has raw burst photography up to 30 frames a second. That's photography that goes up to 30 frames a second on a camera that's basically the size of your wallet. That's pretty cool. It also has video up to 4K 30p. It does not have 24p, which I find incredibly frustrating. Also has HD up to 120p and is going on sale in August for just shy of $900. Looking at an $899 price tag. Second camera that Canon came out with was the G7X Mark III, which is another one-inch mirrorless point-and-shoot camera that has actually been beloved by a lot of YouTubers and travel content creators and vloggers alike, and with good reason. It has Canon's lovely color sciences as a one-inch sensor, so you can get a bit of depth of field from that camera, but they've updated it to really lean into the whole social media influencer world with this camera. The Mark II has, like I said, been a longtime favorite of vloggers, and the Mark III is squarely aimed at that market. The headline feature is that it actually has built-in YouTube live streaming capabilities. So you basically create a live stream event on YouTube and then you log into YouTube on the camera itself and then link up to that live stream and then start streaming content directly from the camera, which is actually a lot better than cell phones. So this is going to be kind of a game changer for a lot of people that want to do live streaming. Likewise, with the G7X Mark III, just as the G5X Mark II has, it has that one-inch stacked 20-megapixel CMOS sensor from Sony. It has a 3-inch flip-up screen, but now on this new flip-up screen, it actually has an on-screen record button, which you couldn't do in the past. This camera also automatically rotates the orientation of the camera when you're shooting vertically so that you can actually record vertical video. So again, just leaning into that whole social media strata of content creators. And it also has a 3.5mm mic jack, which I'm pretty sure makes it like one of the only cameras in this form factor that has a microphone jack for you to plug straight into. So if you think about like doing live stream, you can actually take a feed and plug it straight into the camera and have like your live music audio going into the camera and having a live stream video. So you're really upping the game for your live stream content, especially in the audio world. It doesn't have a headphone jack, so that's something you have to keep in mind. This camera is going to be on sale in August as well, but this one's only going to be $749. And if you ask me, that is an absolute steal. Next, we're going to talk about a little company that's launching on Indiegogo called Moxie. Now, Moxie is releasing a wireless follow focus, but this one is controlled by your phone. And I, just from working with follow focuses in the past and working with wireless devices in the past, going off of a cell phone signal is going to have an inherent delay, and this thing does not look like it's going to be made very well. It just doesn't look like it's really high quality product. They do say that it's durable and that it's going to be fine in all of your shoots and everything, but it just doesn't look the part. And the fact that you're pulling focus off of your phone, that's basically what it is. So it's a follow focus gear that you use with a 15mm rod that hooks onto the front of your camera, onto your lens, and then you use your cell phone as the connecting device to that thing to actually pull focus. So they have like an app where you can actually like put in the focal length of the lens that you're working on, what the manufacturer is, all the metadata about the lens, so that when you start using the lens, your focus points are apparently accurate. I don't know. I just don't trust it off of a cell phone signal. I have a lot of apprehension with this product. But if it sounds like something you're interested in, the links are going to be below this podcast episode. If you go check the show notes, you'll find a link for that product. Sony announced a new 35mm f1.8 lens, which I think is pretty cool. It's kind of like their whole like 50mm introduction lens that you can get, the quote-unquote plastic fantastic that everybody loves. Canon has a 51.8 that you can use. Sony has a 51.8. Nikon, everybody has a 51.8. So Sony just leaned in and went a little bit wider. So then they have a 35.1.8, which is like that cheap plasticky lens. But I've used the 50mm version of this exact lens, and I've gotten some great images. So I wouldn't say don't go buy this thing, because it's at a pretty good price, and it's probably make some great images. Moment had a really big week this week. Moment is normally known for all of their cell phone accessories, and they're still very well known for that. But now, with the success of their anamorphic lenses that they've made for iPhones and Android phones, they've also leaned in and started something called Moment Air. And this is exactly what you would expect. It's them actually leaning into the drone world. So they're actually creating lenses and lens filters for your Mavic 2 Pro and your Mavic 2 Zoom. And they're making a actual drone lens that you hook onto the Mavic 2 Pro, which is the one with the Hasselblad lens. And it looks amazing. I mean, it's a real anamorphic lens on a drone. It's not like an anamorphic filter that you would get from SLR Magic that makes it look like the bokeh in the back is actually from an anamorphic lens. This is real anamorphic that we're talking about, and it's at a price point that is obscenely cheap. Right now on Kickstarter, you can get it for $199. The link for that is also below. But when it actually goes on sale just normal, it's still only going to be $300. So this is actually, I think, the world's cheapest full anamorphic lens that you can buy. Sigma, we're going to get back to Sigma in a little bit, but in terms of just like their regular announcements that they had this week, they announced a 35-1.2, a 45-2.8, a 14-24-2.8 lens. And the latter, that 14-24 f2.8 lens that they announced, is actually two stops faster than Sony's 14-24 or 12-24 lens. So that's actually pretty exciting. We're going to take a quick break, get a word from a sponsor, and we'll be back talking about the Sigma FP. Okay, thanks for coming back. And so, like I said, we're going to get right into Sigma. Sigma came out of completely out of left field. They came out of absolutely nowhere, and they announced this like dream spec stills slash cinema hybrid camera out, like literally just completely out of left field. It's a full frame mirrorless camera called the Sigma FP. And that is Sigma, not Sony. Sigma is the camera manufacturer. They've made cameras in the past, but this is their latest iteration of what they can do. So before we really talk about anything else, I just want to go through some of the specs on this actual camera. It records to SD cards, and those are UHS-II supported cards, or a portable SSD, which you can just plug in through USB-C. It has an L-mount lens mounting system, which is like that open platform lens mounting system that's kind of a, right now is a partnership between Sigma, Leica, and Panasonic. It is a 35mm full-frame Beyer CMOS sensor that you can use. It's 24.6 megapixels. It's got a 3x2 aspect ratio. Here's a cool thing. With video, you can actually shoot MOV, which is an H.264, either in all intra or GOP. But you can also shoot in Cinema DNG RAW. That's internal. So you can shoot 8, 10, or 12-bit RAW inside of this tiny little thing. And when I say it's tiny, I really mean it, because it's basically the same size as those point-and-shoots we were talking about earlier. You can shoot in UHD up to 29.97 frames per second. You can shoot in regular HD all the way up to 120 frames per second. They also have support for HDMI out, so you can send it out to like an Atomos Ninja Inferno or like a Blackmagic Video Assist 4K or anything like that. It has a bunch of different focus modes. You can do contrast, single point, continuous, all that stuff. Image stabilization, that's like it's called their system electronic system, which is like their built-in in-body stabilization. It also has a bunch of these really cool color modes that you can look at. Fuji is kind of known for having really interesting and cinematic color modes inside of their actual cameras. And I think Sigma is kind of taking a page out of their book with this one, because you have like upwards of 9 or 10 different kinds of color modes. But the one that strikes me the most are these two that are called Cinema. And then there's another one called Teal and Orange, which is really funny to me because a lot of times that's like the general color correction method that a lot of people use to create a cinematic look inside of their films. And now Sigma is building that in into the camera body that you're actually using to create these images. So I think that that's really interesting. There's no test to show actually like what that looks like, but I do think that that is really, really interesting. And also they have like landscape, portrait, neutral, standard, vivid, all that stuff. The cinema one though, I'm expecting that one's going to be like their flat profile. It does have a built-in microphone, but it also has a 3.5 millimeter external microphone jack. It doesn't have a headphone jack, so I really wouldn't trust this thing for recording sound, but it doesn't seem like they're really aiming for that type of audience. So that's kind of like the hardware. That's what is in the actual camera. But the thing that excites me the most about this camera is, one, its size. It's going to be making cinematic images a lot easier because you don't have to worry about lugging around an enormous piece of hardware that requires 1 to 5 different people just to get the thing operational. This is going to be able to be powered and operated and controlled by one person incredibly easily. So stripping down your camera department is going to be a breeze. And I do think that there is a value in having a fully fledged camera department. I really do. And I'm not going to discount that. I've worked with bigger camera crews in the past, and there's nothing quite like it. It is very valuable. But for a lot of the market and a lot of the growing market right now, those departments are getting streamlined. So the people in those departments are getting better at their job, and we're needing less people to do them. And I think this camera is in part a response to that. And I think that Sigma has done a really good job of addressing a lot of those concerns with people that want to maximize their people but not necessarily maximize their camera size. But the coolest thing overall with having a camera like the Sigma FP come to market is that this is basically probably, I'm guessing that this camera is going to compete directly with the likes of the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema 4K and its $1,300 price point. Now, prices are not available for the Sigma FP yet, and I do expect it to be a bit more than the Blackmagic camera because of the fact that it actually is utilizing a full frame sensor and it's shooting in Cinema DNG 12-bit RAW. But I also expect that Sigma will want to stay in competition with Blackmagic and try to steal some of that market share, which is why I think that it'll probably be anywhere between $1,500 and $2,500. And that is what brings me to my main point, which is that this camera is going to be one of those cameras that levels the playing field. This is going to be an everyman's camera that is punching well above its weight in its price point, but also keeping tabs on those big boys, the Reds, the Aries, the Canon C500s, the Canon C700s, all those things. This camera is going to be able to respond to those in kind and humbly and very respectfully hold its own in the place of those new cameras. And what that's going to allow is for the best filmmakers to rise to the top about what they can do with a camera, because the tools are officially starting to get out of the way of the people that are using them. You can no longer rely on the tools to say that you're good at your job. You actually have to be good at your job. And so what this is going to do, it's going to overall, it's just going to level the playing field, allowing for the best filmmakers to rise to the top, not just those with the best camera. And so when people start getting this camera in their hands, we're really going to see who is worth their salt and who is just getting a good day rate because they've got an expensive rig. And I know that it's a bit of a polarizing look, but I really think that that is what this camera is going to do. I don't think Sigma had that in mind. I don't think anybody had that in mind. But what I'm really excited about is we're going to see a lot of people are going to buy this camera. I guarantee it. There's no way that this is going to be an obscenely expensive camera. They just can't do it. That's not what this camera is for. So when people start getting their hands on this, and I'm guessing a lot of that is going to happen on the world of YouTube, we're going to see people making some seriously wonderful quality images. So pay attention to the stories that they tell with those images, because that's what's going to tell you who's the good filmmakers, and that's going to also differentiate them from the great filmmakers. So keep an eye out. This is a huge announcement. I'm going to be keeping up to date with the Sigma FP as much as possible. That's pretty much all I got for this week. Check out all the show notes for all the links for anchor.com. You can also check out the music that I use in this podcast from Artlist. There's a link to that down below. Likewise, if you want to go check out the Moxie on Kickstarter so you can see that wireless follow focus, or you want to support Moment and their new Kickstarter for their drone lenses, go ahead and check out that. It's all in the links in the show notes below, and I'll catch you next week. Peace.